And everything begins with God. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we frame within our lives begins with God. That's really important, and really important to hear that as we journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Everything begins with God. Everything ends with God. Everything else is just the middle bit. And so we pray. Jesus, Son of the Virgin Mother, I rest me on thy promise that if only I live for thee from day to day, I shall yet live with thee forever. Jesus, Son of the Virgin Mother, I rest me on thy promise that if I only live for thee from day to day, I shall yet live with thee forever. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount is an extraordinary piece of teaching. It's, as we will explore over these next few weeks, it's monumental in its orientation. And we need to be wary of diluting it of any of its meaning and its power, lest we make it too palatable that it becomes flavorless, that it loses its saltiness. I'm going to begin with where we end our reading, and these words of be salt and be light. There's a book that I read late last year, and it has as its title The Church as Triumphant, and it crosses the word triumphant out and replaces it with salt. The church as salt. And it talks about all the manner of ways in which salt is present in our lives, from the saltiness of our tears, when we think of those who mourn, to the way that salt gives flavour, and the way that salt preserves, which probably would have been one of the key things. My very poor historical understanding, salt was a preserving agent, and has been for a very long time. Even today, you see some recipes. We had this lovely fish once, and it was literally caked in salt, and they broke the salt apart and brought this fish out, and it was beautifully flavoured, because it had been preserved in this salt for so long. And it was then that I realized that salt actually, its primary task at that point is to preserve, is to keep something so that it can last. And the flavoring happens because it has been preserved well. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you are here to be salt, you're here to bring flavors, which is to preserve that which needs to be sustained. Needs to be sustained. And so if we were to ask ourselves, what is it that needs to be sustained? What needs to be preserved today? We need to go back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and read what Jesus is saying is necessary. And we may discover that the things that we have longed to preserve because we think they are of God and they are important, and Jesus says they are, but not as important as these things. And if we preserve well that which needs to be preserved, that which is of God and comes from God, then the flavor will be added. Perhaps our challenge today as a church is that we're trying to bring flavor to the wrong things. and we're wondering why some things just don't get into gear properly, it's because we've spent all our time flavoring things that just aren't good for us. We flavor things that just aren't good for us. What is it that we're preserving that needs to be preserved, that's of God? Preserve that and the flavor comes. And in much the same way, what is it that we're bringing light to? We have this wonderful image of light coming into the darkness, and you know, light conquers darkness. It's not true. It just means that the darkness is not as present, or that we can see better. Perhaps that's the greatest opportunity, is that the simplest light means we can see well in the dark. We have a night light at home because it's just pitch black at night. Strangely, up in the country, you know, I consider this country, we don't have that many street lights, and there's only one out there, and the rest of the house is just pitch black through the middle of the night. And I like light if I get up. Anyway, so we've got this one light down in the far corner of the kitchen that lights right up the hallway. Just enough to see by, just enough to navigate, you know, my bike that sits in the corridor and toys that might be on the floor and the bookcase and anything else that might have been there, because we all just put things down. Just a simple light allows us to navigate through the darkness. It doesn't remove the darkness. It doesn't stop the darkness. It doesn't overcome the darkness. It doesn't conquer the darkness. But the darkness is somewhat diminished because of the presence of light. And Jesus says, you are the light. You are the light. In John's gospel says, Jesus, I am the light. But in Matthew's gospel, the people, the disciples, the ones who are gathered close to Jesus, you are the light. You're the one that helped people see through the darkness. Isn't that good news? That's one of those hallelujah moments. I should have hallelujah flash up on the screen so you get the cue. I need one of those people that sort of, at TV shows, that does that, sort of picks up a hallelujah card so the audience knows when to scream. And anyway. I mean, this is good news. You are the light. Jesus says that it's possible, that it's necessary, that it is the way of the kingdom of God, that you are the light of the world. Jesus says there is no other way that this happens but you be the light of the world. You help people be guided through the darkness. Simple. But hard. It is, that's the thing. I am the light of the world. Now I must do it consistently, continuously, in the right way. That's the hard bit. But you are the light of the world. So if 50 people walk out today and go and put down in a column that's not out there currently, I will be the light of the world and 50 names are under it. That's our task. I will be light, I will be salt. But how do we do that, Anthony? Well, I know this is a lot on the screen, but this is from The Message, and I do particularly like the way that Eugene Peterson has phrased it. Let me tell you why you are here. So what's my purpose on earth? For those of you who want to know what to do, you know, why am I here? This is it. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out not how good you are, not how the things of the world can change, or you're here to bring out the God flavors in the world. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? We won't get into the theological implications of how do you actually lose saltiness, because salt never really loses its saltiness, but conversation for another day. But Jesus says you've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. So it's quite possible, Jesus says. If you're not salt, if you're not bringing out the God flavors, you're useless. That's a bit awkward. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Simple, but hard. I'm here to be light, to bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. See, everything begins and ends with God. So if we say, but Anthony, we're not getting the recognition, if we're not getting the acclaim, if people don't like us, you know, people aren't believing what I believe, people aren't following, well, that's beside the point. I get it, I understand it, but Jesus is saying, that's not the point of you shining. The point of you shining is to point the way to God. Is to not only point the way to God, it's to indicate that God is here. So if you're not getting a claim, okay, I hear you and I feel for you, I really do. The second question we need to ask, which is the more important than the first question we often ask, is God getting any acclaim? And if God is getting acclaim, then it's all good. Now, let's return then to the Beatitudes that cause all these feelings. And if they're not causing these feelings to rise up in us, go back and read them again until they do. And if you're really stuck, talk to me. I'll give you some feelings. Excuse me. No, I wouldn't do that. The Beatitudes. One of those gifts from my father-in-law when he was lecturing in New Testament theology. Greg is a Matthean scholar by trade and by passion. And he, I'm sure he didn't coin this phrase, but these are the attitudes we be. They are the Beatitudes. Do this. Keep pushing for it. When you've got it all figured out, keep going. Stay on the same track. To work through each one would take us a day. And as valuable as that would be, so I'm going to encourage you to do two things now. I'd like us to go home this afternoon, and between the time you arrive home and the time you go to bed, or you might do it around morning tea, instead of talking to one another, or you might read out the Sermon on the Mount. Do that, and then choose one. Pay attention, be discerning about which particular beatitude you need to focus on for the week, and do that, and see what arises. But I just want to highlight a couple of things as we go through these Beatitudes. So remember, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has sat down on the mountain. Remember, mountain is significant because anything that happens on a mountain is the place where heaven reaches down and earth reaches up, and they're a thin place. They're a thin place where holy things happen. And something is going to be, if you see mountain in the scriptures, it says pay attention. Jesus has gone up the mountain, his disciples are around him, he's now teaching them. We have these Beatitudes. Blessed, and blessed is a very big word. Here I'm just going to simply read the front of the reach out and then come back if you want to have more conversation. But blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the pacifists, not the peace-loving, not those who are quiet, but those who make peace. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not will be, but is. The poor in spirit, and again, as I say, there's a lot of conversation, a lot of learning about what it means to be poor in spirit. But remember, if it's about God, that's your starting point. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's not there yet, but it will be one day. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What with? With righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So apart from the first beatitude, all the others so far are all future projections. But you've got to follow the way in order to reach the way. In order to be salt and light, this is consistent. And these are all about what it means to be following God. So, for instance, the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek is not being quiet and shy and subservience. I read somewhere, it's a good place to start at least. Someone has said, the meek are those who have a sword, who know how to use the sword and do not use the sword. The meek are those who have a sword, who know how to use the sword and do not use the sword. So in other words, there's some robust strength, but they know how to use that robust strength wisely. Yeah, blessed are those who mourn. It's not just, I'm just constantly feeling sorry for people. No. Remember, we're talking about first century Palestine. The Jews are an oppressed people by a Roman empire that sits on their back door. Those who mourn are mourning for the state of the world in which they live because they are constantly at war, they are constantly in terror, they are an overthrown people. I went participated in a Zoom meeting with Common Grace to hear more about how we can be trained and ready to understand the voice and treaty and justice for Indigenous peoples. They are a people who know how to mourn, but they're not sitting on the ground weeping, doing nothing. They are a people who are mourning deeply and yet ever joyful because they believe that their mourning is not in vain. Because they believe, and this is how Common Grace is a Christian organization, Indigenous-based, Christian-based, they are a group of people who are committed to mourning as a way of activism, as a way of justice. So we can't think small with these things. I would suggest. Continue. See, and this is where, if you think small, you can't think, you get to the end, and all of a sudden it blows us out of the water. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, in other words, living with a whole heart, mind, strength, and soul in the right ways, blessed are you. So now he's being really direct at the disciples. Up until now, it's been blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely, may or may not have been there as part of the ancient manuscript, on my account. I think in Australia we have a different sense of what that means for people compared to countries where Christians are harassed, or people of any faith are harassed, beaten, tortured, persecuted. We sort of need to hold that in tension. For theirs is the kingdom of God. We've returned to is the kingdom of God. You are blessed when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. And the response is rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. As I say, look, there's a lot more I'm reining myself in. I know it might not come across as this, but I'm really reining myself in from leaping ahead and just breaking down. There's just so much in these words that we need to hear and sink ourselves into as the beginning of our Lenten journey, as we walk through the wilderness and say, God, how do we be your people today? And this is how. This is how we be salt and light. So that's, as I say, I've taken a thimble full of water and said, here, drink, this will make you better. But it's a start. So Brendan Burner, New Testament commentator, scholar, writes this about the Sermon on the Mount. What Jesus does, or the Beatitudes, what Jesus does in the Beatitudes is declare certain kinds of people blessed, so that certain kinds of people blessed, not because of their present situation, which is actually quite disadvantaged and vulnerable. So he's not saying, oh, it's all right, you're mourning, you're blessed. So let's not just do the first half of the Beatitudes, because otherwise it just makes them pointless. So if we just walk along and saying, are you mourning? Oh, you're blessed. No. But in view of a future situation, aside from those two, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, but in view of a future situation that will come about for them through the power and fidelity of God. Everything is about God. Everything begins with God. Everything flows from God. Everything ends with God. And Jesus says this. So again, Greg, my father-in-law, says the Beatitudes is Jesus' way of saying this is, he's telling a group of people, this is the way to live. Now, the rest of you can't just see what they're doing. You too live like this. So it's not just this is the way to live for a select few, but it's encouraging the rest of you, whoever is within hearing shot, you too come and join this little band of intrepid adventurers and go this way. Live like this. For you, you are the salt. You are the light. Therefore, live this way. Live this way because you are the salt and the light. You see the balance? And this is what I'm going to just put. I know this will put me in trouble somewhere along the line. I ask for forgiveness now. But this is where small little memory verses do us no good. Because if we walk along the world saying, I am the light of the world because Jesus says so, and ignore the rest of the Beatitudes, we forget why we are the light of the world. And we forget what it means to be the light of the world. A little memory verse isn't going to do it now. We need to learn the entire text. We need to live it. We need to breathe it. And hey, it's easy for me to say it. There's no, you know, anybody can say this. So now, can we follow this invitation that Jesus offers us and said, this is what it means to be the people of God? As we've sung, when I stand in glory, I'm advocating this is glory. This can be a taste of glory today, here, now. And if you're thinking, oh, really? That's a bit underwhelming, Anthony. I agree with you. Why do you think it is that Jesus says, blessed are you when you live like this, for yours will be? If you want to know what end glory looks like, live glory now. Amen.